You tell me when to go. We're good?
Good.
All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Guardian Project podcast. I'm your host, Andy, and I've been playing a lot of games of Commander with my new Dimir deck. Anna Juan, want to play games with me?
Oh, yeah. Nice. Nice. And I'm your other host, Mike Coyle. And I can't wait till we go back to Zendikar Origins. That way we can get the keyword that came before landfall, land trip.
Trip, landfall.
Please listen carefully.
And this is the podcast where we talk about all things Magic the Gathering,
but mostly Commander. And we have a big announcement.
Huge announcement.
Yeah, so we finally reached over 100 subscribers on our YouTube channel. So now we actually have a URL that you can punch in into the URL thing, and it's not blah, 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 like it was last week.
A strand of numbers and letters, some uppercase, some lowercase.
That's right.
It was so funny because I tweeted out, I was like, oh my gosh, okay, we're so close. And we have a lot of people that probably aren't subscribed, and that's fine. They can subscribe and then just not look at the videos. I don't know, just help us get there. So I was like, can you please help us? And I think we got over 40 in a day, because I think we're at 113 now, yeah. 111. So we got almost 40. So thank you all so much for helping us out. You can find us now on YouTube at
The Guardian Project.
The Guardian Project, youtube.com/The Guardian Project. It was not taken. And there was a C in it, and I was very worried about it because it was like youtube.com/C/The Guardian. And I was like, why is there a C in this? And it doesn't give you an option. You don't get to type it in. It's like you get this or you get this. And so I said, okay, I guess we take this one. And as I was doing some research, they said it comes up with or without the C. So that worked out really well.
Perfect.
Yeah. I also have an announcement. This week, I am going to be doing a boxing league. So we've talked about what the boxing league was. So you start building a commander deck after opening a single box. And then each week for 6 weeks, you add six packs. Those packs can't be repeated from a single set. And you kind of just evolve this commander deck and see how it plays out, right? And you play with a group. So I'm playing with Chris at Kelsum Gaming on Twitter. I have Chris from Conviction Gaming, who's been on our stream, and then Bruce from the Epic Experiment podcast. The four of us are going to start recording. We're going to do that every Saturday for like the next 6 weeks.
Awesome.
Obviously, the week of Halloween, we may have to skip that and then record two on a different week.
Right.
But we're going to upload those to our YouTube channel as a sub series. So we won't be streaming those live, but we'll have those up as the boxing league. So I have a
box of homelands, right? That's what you decided to open?
No. No, but I guess choice. I guess Soraya the Falconer, I think is from homelands, right? The mono white legendary that cares about the birds.
Yeah, that way you can open other sets that care about birds.
So I could play Soraya and maybe throw a didgeridoo in there.
Didgeridoo, don't do that.
Do not do that. Also, don't buy a box of homelands. No, so I secured two boxes today. I got a box of Dominaria.
Ooh.
And I got a box of Magic Origins.
Ooh.
So I love Magic Origins. The problem is the legendaries there are not plentiful. There are a few.
Right.
But five of them are the Flip Planeswalkers, the original time we saw the flip, and I was like, that'd be great. I would love to open one, but you have to open, they're all mythics. And you're not always guaranteed four.
You're not even guaranteed one. There's other mythics other than the flip command.
No. But mythics wise, I think you're guaranteed three mythics, period. Sure, sure. At least for that set. So it's like, I don't know if I'm gonna, of the three, is one of them gonna be this? I have no idea. And then the problem is like the rares that I think are legendary are not like anything you would want to build around.
Fair enough. Now, do you have to keep the same legendary creature, or when you open a new pack of six, could you deviate?
I think you can shift. I think you can shift. I have to, I got to check out the rules again. We're still working that out. But I'm pretty sure if you open it, it just becomes part of your pool. And if you wanted to shift, you could.
Okay.
I thought it'd be really cool if I could open like Origins. And then if you were to get the flip Liliana, you could open sets that care about zombies and stuff. And I was like, that'd be really cool.
Yeah.
Or if you open the white Kithian that flips into the Gideon. That flips into Gideon. You can build a deck that just cares about swinging. But then Dominaria has a crap ton of
just
legendary.
So many things,
so you have a lot of options.
I mean, you only can choose Yargle if you open Dominaria, though.
No, that's not true.
No, per rules, Frog Spirit has to be number one.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No. So I have that, and then I've got boxes of like all the current sets, I've kept like a box or two of all of them. So I had put out a tweet and I said, okay, we've got Origins, Dominaria, Throne of Eldraine were like my top. And then I had like an other. And so Cube Draft responded, was like, I'd go with cons. And I said, I already checked. And the problem is they're just very expensive. For you know, that's the only problem. And so I said, I really wanted Fate Reforged. And so he responded and said, I've got a box for you and you can buy it. And the next time you do it, you can use Fate Reforged. So I'm probably going to do another boxing league. So you can be in it. Cause obviously Coil can't join for this one. And it's going to be Fate Reforged next time.
Very cool. Now, also this week we did join the Elder Dragon Skype Lander stream on Sunday. So we had a great time and we were playing with Andrew and Jake and Livy of the Elder Dragon Skype Lander team.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. So I got to play Noyandar on stream and I got to play Slimefoot. I did not win either game, but that was a lot of fun.
I don't know if we want to spoil the winners. The VODs are probably out there on their Twitch.
You can go
channel.
Out there. Game one, Coil had a lot of creatures. You could say that.
I played She-Ray in game one.
You played Tetsuko.
I did. Oh, you're right. I played Tetsuko in game one. I'm thinking of...
You're thinking of our stream.
Our stream. I did play Tetsuko in game one. I did have a lot of creatures.
You had a lot of creatures in the game. And that was when I played Slimefoot. In the game two, I played Noyandar. It didn't show as well as it usually does. But it was frustrating. I know that I kind of messed up a lot of plans a couple of times. Yeah, so we had a good time. So go check out their channel.
Yes.
And then I'm going to be streaming with CNC Power Hour next week. They are working on their fundraising campaign for Extra Life. So they're streaming every night now through November 7th, every night. So they're going to be doing some Commander. I think they're streaming Among Us, some other games as well. So make sure to go check them out to support that cause. And then I'm also going to be streaming Commander with Mental Misplay. That is going to be on... if you're listening to this, it'll be the night of this episode when it comes out. So they have a weekly stream with rotating guests and a different charity every week. So go check them out as well. I'll be posting on Twitter before I go live. So you'll likely, if you see all my stuff, you're probably on Twitter. Yeah. So you'll see before I go live with that.
Very cool.
Yeah. So, they have a lot of great ways to support them. And you can go check out their Patreons. And if you want to support our show, you can head over to patreon.com/guardianprojectpod. At the end of the month, we're going to be doing another Patreon giveaway. You can donate for any dollar amount. We have a couple of tiers. We have some folks that are going to be working on submitting some deck text to us. We're going to do some episodes specifically around their commanders. So if you want to do that, you can head over there and become part of the family.
Yeah. And if you're looking for another way to support the podcast, easiest way to support the podcast, whatever you are listening to the podcast on now, if you could like, comment, subscribe, we're looking for feedback that we can make the podcast better for you. You can also head on over to our YouTube channel.
YouTube.com/The Guardian Project.
The Guardian Project. And subscribe and hit the bell icon so that you can see our Commander streams that we upload onto YouTube as videos every Sunday. We also have a TCG Player affiliate link located in the show notes below. So if you're looking for any singles or sealed product from TCG Player, please use our TCG Player affiliate link.
Yeah. What are we talking about this week?
This week, we have actually some brand new stuff that we kind of had to panic and put on the agenda today. And that's the new Secret Lair. Secret Lair in honor of Extra Life.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk about that.
And then we're going to talk about the 6 hints that Gavin Verhey gave us for Commander Legends. And then our main topic today, we are revisiting utility land. So lands that we think are being maybe underplayed or just lands that we like. That are considered utility lands.
Yeah, I'm excited. Let's get to it.
Woo.
Clap, clap. All right, so we have a new secret layer that is Secret Lair Extra Life. So this was actually announced this week. It is going to be raising funds benefiting the Seattle Children's Hospital. And there is actually probably one of the most popular, I would say, secret layers based on cards that I see here that a lot of people are going to want to buy. So it comes with four premium foil cards. This one is foil again. Mm-hmm. And it will be for $60. So we've got Teferi's Protection, Amulet of Vigor, Collected Company, and Consecrated Sphinx. Two of these are highly desirable, and the other two are just good cards based on the deck that you want to put them in.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So you can order these November 6th through November 9th. They're going to be $60, and $30 of that is going to benefit the Extra Life campaign for the Seattle Children's Hospital. I don't have a foil Consecrated Sphinx, so this will be a really nice one to get.
I don't have a Teferi's Protection.
You don't? Oh, you don't have one, period.
I don't have one at all.
Oh, that'd be really good. This I actually think will benefit the price of Teferi's Protection.
Yeah. No, it probably will. Although it's the most adorable art in the world.
Teferi with his daughter. Oh. I can only assume it's his daughter, which is Niambi.
Yeah.
Back in the past.
In the past, but for Teferi, it's just always in the present.
Yeah, because Teferi would be like, you know what? Let's go back to that day.
I bet there's a lot of parents out there that wish they could do that.
Like, let's just go back. That was a really good day. All right, now we'll go back to the present.
Yeah.
You know?
And then you're like, screw this.
You know, actually, let's just go back. Collected Company, it's got like a bunch of Leonin and a Johnny's like kneeling over petting some. I guess petting is not what you would do. He's patting them.
Pat on the head.
Yeah, yeah. Some kids there. And the Consecrated Sphinx is like standing on top of a rock with a bunch of children around it.
Yeah, so they all feature children in the art.
Yeah.
To tie in to the Children's Hospital Extra Life. Extra Life is actually something that we did a stream for about like two and a half years ago or
something
like that.
Was it that long? I think it's the very first video, one of the very first videos that was put on our YouTube channel. So yeah. It's not even branded with us. We did it with five people. We had a camera from Coils. Drop top or drop ceiling.
It's the same camera I use currently for my playmat, but we used it for five playmats.
And it was a long game to edit, is what I remember Coyle saying. Mm-hmm. So we've definitely done this before. So if you're looking to donate, you can, like I mentioned, CNC Power Hour is doing a lot of gaming for Extra Life, so you can donate there. In addition to that, they're doing Extra Life playmats. The playmats will be available for $21.99 at the Ultra Pro Shop. It's for a limited time. It's the same artwork. There's going to be some uncut sheet auctions, streaming events, and then the creator campaign, so you can get together in teams and fundraise, and then the top eight fundraising teams will gain access to codes for their audience featuring special alternate art cards, the alternate style for Collected Company. So that's really cool. And then there's, I guess to end it, there's some Extra Life sleeves that you can get, an alternate art sleeve for Arena, a playmat for that, some shirts, and then an enamel pin you can order. So there's a lot, and the artwork's actually really good for all of these.
Yeah.
So if you're looking to donate, here's where you can do it.
Yeah, please do so. Amazing cause.
Yeah, great, great cause.
I guess for our next subject, we know that there have been a ton of Commander Legends leaks.
Yeah.
That have gone out there. We are not going to talk about those Commander Legends leaks. We are going to let the content creators that do get Commander Legends preview cards, we're going to let them preview the cards. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been trying to avoid the spoilers as much as possible. We know sometimes it's inevitably, you know, difficult to do that.
Yeah, we had some folks that were asking in the Discord if they could post under a specific channel, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not actively promoting it, we're not sharing on Twitter, we understand that it's very difficult, but the information is out there,
right?
So if you want to seek it out, it's there. There mm-hmm. are some cards. It looks like there has been some product, it's not in English, it looks like it's in German.
Yep.
That has been stolen. I believe that it was or at least almost confirmed that this was not in this person's hands for a specific reason, like
right.
promotion.
Right. No conspiracies behind, you know, this spoiling out, because this was the time that the original spoilers were supposed to come out or anything. Probably not true.
Yeah, probably not. But Gavin Verhey did give six hints mm-hmm. onto some of the cards that are going to be in Commander Legends. So we're just going to go over his hints, and we're going to wildly speculate.
Speculate.
I love speculation.
It's pretty great.
So the first one is, there's a legendary creature that is simply named, quote, ghost of, and then it's a previous legendary creature.
Ghost of previous
legendary creature. Yep. So
specifically not Squee, because Squee can't die.
So, okay. I mean, we saw Dak die, right? Spoiler alert. It's not spoiler alert.
No.
That was from the War of the Spark promo before that came out. We saw Dak die. However, Mark Rosewater had come out after that and was like, if we had known that Dak was going to die in the story, probably would have given him a Planeswalker card.
Right. So thinking maybe it's not Dak.
Might not be Dak. Who else died? Who died?
I mean, people could be dying off screen and everything too. I don't know if like...
Could it be... Oh, because Pia and Kieran Nalar isn't Kieran. Kieran is not alive,
Kieran
right?
Kieran is dead.
So it'd be
Ghost of Kieran.
Ghost of Kieran.
That's interesting.
Shonda's dad.
I'm thinking maybe like it's going to be on someone of like a someone from a plane that has ghosts.
So, I mean, Brago is a ghost.
He is a ghost. Didn't Brago get killed in lore
by Kaya? I'm pretty sure. Was it by Kaya? Yeah, ghost assassin.
Yeah. I think Kaya killed Brago.
Because Queen Marchesa was like,
hey, Kaya, go kill Brago. She was like, cool, pay me money. Like, okay, here
you go. So it's Brago King Eternal. Now it could just be King of Brago King Eternal.
Brago King for a limited amount of time.
Anyone else? Who else is no longer...
I was thinking just like Yawgmoth or something. I don't think Yawgmoth would come back as a ghost, though. I think
did Yawgmoth die in the lore?
No,
I don't know.
No one knows. He kind of transformed into Phyrexian.
I know that I play with his tomb.
That's correct. His tomb.
I like.
He's got coffers from his followers of the Cabal.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Ghost of, it could be of the captain of the Weatherlight originally. Maybe not the captain.
It was Sisse.
Not Sisse. The dude.
Gerard?
Gerard?
Is
Ghost of Gerard?
Did Gerard die?
Yeah, I think he just died of old age, maybe. But
just an old dude.
He did.
Okay.
He ain't around anymore. Like, wasn't... Because isn't his kid the green-white girl that has the power and toughness equal to the number of creatures you control, and that she didn't actually join the Weatherlight in the Dominaria story? I can't remember her name
Sisse,
at all.
Sisse, yeah. No, I know what you're talking about. Her name's not Sisse.
Is it Sisse's daughter and not Gerard's daughter?
I don't know. But we're not a lore podcast.
No, that's true.
So
I'm interested to see.
Now we have to do some Googling, but I'm very interested to see what
Ghost legendary, of Shieldred.
Ghost of, yeah, because I think the only one that's alive is Elish Norn, right?
Elish Norn and maybe Urabrask hidden away in the core. They don't know if he got they went
what
got
if
him
it's
yet.
What if it's the ghost of Venser?
Could be ghost of Venser. Because we know that Venser died off screen.
Venser died.
Yeah.
And Venser has a legendary creature and a planeswalker card. Mm-hmm. Now it could just be the ghost of Venser.
Ghost of Venser. That would be dope.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Cool. All right. So the next one is there is a card with art that has only appeared in Magic Online. I think this is a trick one.
I don't know cards that are on Magic. I don't play Magic Online. I play Arena or I play in paper. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you play in Magic Online?
No.
Yeah.
I just know that there is unique art for Magic Online. Like they have unique art for the OG dual lands on there. They're not going to reprint OG dual lands because they're on reserve list. But one token art that's on Magic Online that doesn't exist in paper is the Enchantment Black Snake from Ophiomancer.
Ophiomancer, that'd be great.
So that's what I think it is. I think
everybody would be happy. And I think we talked about previews when we first heard about this, and we said Ophiomancer would be one of those cards that we thought was going to be in the set. That'd be great.
For sure.
Please put Ophiomancer in there.
It's an amazing, amazing Aristocrats card. For Commander specifically.
Yeah. Another one is there's a permanent with an ability that says, quote, you control your opponents while ...
Yeah, while they're in combat phase would be my guess.
While they're in combat phase.
Yeah, so you can declare their attacks and their
I'd rather it be during the cleanup step and I make you discard. I force you to draw 6 cards and I discard the bad ones.
Oh, that's pretty good. Just if they have a Necropotence, they're going to lose.
Ooh, gross.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to give you that power. Maybe it is during combat, or maybe during the declare blocker step.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind that. You control your opponents during their declare blocker step, or you control your opponents while... Well, no, this is you control opponents while they tap their mana.
Oops, mana's tapped.
Oops, you're tapping all of these for mana and...
I just power leaked you.
I have no idea what this one would be.
That one is...
I'm excited, though.
Yeah.
But controlling your opponents is never easy on Webcam Commander, so this might not be a card that we play with, depending on what it does.
That's true.
So...
So the next one is that there are four non-evergreen mechanics in the set. One of them is new and three of them are returning. One of those mechanics has only been featured in one plane. So we know Partner is already back. So that's one of the non-evergreen mechanics that's returning. But the one that has only been one plane, I mean, this could be anything.
So I have mentioned before that I want a level up commander and I also want extort.
Did level up only exist in one plane? Extort, we can say yes.
Extort, I think is, yeah, extort's only from the plane of Ravnica.
Right.
Along level with up,
every other Ravnica keyword, not an evergreen keyword.
I don't, yeah, and I don't think any of them have ever been reused.
No, jumpstart. Overload. I guess those are just the is it ones.
Yeah, yeah. You're just going to is it, but Convoke has been used outside of.
Okay. Yeah.
Convoke, I think.
Yeah.
Or is it just core sets? I'm not sure.
Oh.
Convoke might. I know Convoke's been used otherwhere. Otherwhere.
Yeah.
It's been used otherwhere.
Yeah. Underwear.
Over what? Look over there.
It's a bird.
Yeah. I'd be happy with. I don't. Now I want to know.
Exert.
Exerts from Amonkhet only.
Yeah. Embalm.
Yeah. There's a lot of these.
Yeah.
There's, I mean, energy. So many. What are the, what's the, I mean, energy is not a specific mechanic, I guess, but paying and using it was.
Yeah.
Please don't bring back energy for Commander Legends, even, though. That's a lot.
Even Landfall is just Zendikar. It's only the plane of Zendikar.
I think we just saw it, so I think we're safe on that. I don't feel like they're going to throw that in there.
I mean, it is a supplemental product, though. And yeah. Landfall is a very popular mechanic that doesn't have to be well-supported in order for it to
work. How often has phasing been used? And what planes was it on?
We just got new phasing, right?
We did.
In the Teferi core set.
That was. That's a core set, though. So that's it not, doesn't take place on a plane.
It takes place on all the planes. It's basically Boeing.
All right. So this one is, it's Boeing 747. Okay. So this one could just be anything. So we have no idea.
That's right.
There is a cycle of five legendary creatures with partner that are all animal familiars.
So that's kind of cool.
Cycle of five legendary creatures with partner that are all animal. So an animal familiar would be
like a wizard's owl.
Yeah.
Or Jing Yang Yu's Mowu.
His Mowu. It's not his dog. It's right. his Mowu.
If they did Jin Yang Yu and Mowu as partner with together, both as legendaries, yeah. I mean,
they both are legendary cool. Now. Yeah. So that'd be because yeah. You can play Mowu. You can play a Mowu deck. It's right, just like hardened scales on a commander.
But you can't play a Jin Yang Yu deck.
No, you can't.
Yeah, it can't be your commander.
He's only a planeswalker. He's never been a legendary creature, right?
Right. Or a planeswalker with the specific wording can be your commander.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So that one is, I mean, that one we could wildly speculate all day because it could be any legendary creature with any familiar.
I hope they have like a crocodile familiar and it could be someone from Amonkhet and they got their crocodile.
Okay. You don't get me that excited right now, please.
But who could it be? Who could it be now? Who from Amonkhet could have a familiar that's crocodile?
The problem is like the bad guys on Amonkhet was just Nicol Bolas and the gods. There weren't like people that were the bad guys there.
I mean, Tezzeret went there at one point during the War of the Spark story.
Sure. But it's like planeswalkers and gods. There weren't like Giru didn't have a guy that was like, I hate Giru. And he always has his eyes closed or something.
Yeah. No. There weren't a ton of legendary creatures from Amonkhet that, I mean, were there? You have Giru, you have.
The five gods.
You have the five gods.
And Samut.
And the Minotaur.
Oh, Neheb.
Neheb.
Yeah, that's true. Neheb, I guess, is the bad guy, but...
Is Neheb bad in the story?
Neheb, I mean, follows Nicol Bolas eventually.
I guess.
He gets turned into an immortal, probably. Well, but
that was controlled by Liliana. I mean, his whole thing was he was trying to, I mean, the whole thing is on Amonkhet, right? They try to become Eternals. That's their whole thing. Yeah. So they go through the five trials. All right. So we're guessing here an Amonkhet character with a croc.
That would be really cool.
That'd be really cool.
And then the last one we have is there is a creature that has a type that Wizards of the Coast designers haven't made a new one in over 20 years.
So I don't know how old it is, but I know Rebel was a very popular creature type. Let me look up type lines. So we're going to head over to our trusty Scryfall, and I'm going to look up Rebels, and I am going to search for all the sets that had them. Other than, they're not, they're usually tricky, right, when they do these. And Alexander Clamilton was a Clamfolk advisor Rebel. So I think Rebel's out, because if it says that they haven't used it,
oh, maybe.
I bet you they would assume that that was included. So it might not be Rebel, but Rebel was real old.
And I guess the one that I thought it was, I actually just proved myself wrong. I thought Thrall was going to be that creature type, but it actually just got printed in Ravnica Allegiance. Grasping Thrall was printed. And in Gatecrash too.
And Debtor's Transport is a Thrall, a 5/3 for Ravnica Allegiance. So it's not Thrall. Man, this one, it could be anything.
It's probably like an elephant. It's probably Field of Grass.
When was the last I made?
Or it's a
when was the last creature type I made? Oh, there's an I Spy from an unset. Dang, there's three eyes in Magic.
Maybe they're not counting unsets. Who
there's
knows?
The evil eye of Orms by Gore. Orms by Gore.
Orms by who?
Welcome to my shop. Eyes of Orms by Gore.
Orms by Gore.
That'd be a great shop name, you know, like Chairs by Andy. I don't want to sell chairs, but like...
But it would still be called Chairs by Andy, so people come in and be like, where are your chairs? And he says, I don't have a leg to stand on.
This person could sell evil eyes. And then there's the evil eye of Urborg.
Urborg has an evil eye? What's his other eye? Isn't it just another evil eye?
It's the nice eye that balances out the evil eye.
There's nothing balanced
you
about.
You have the angel and the devil on your shoulders. Mm-hmm. He's got them in his eyes.
And they're both devils.
And they're trying to figure out where they gotta look.
Yeah. What's happening?
What's left, happening
right,
here?
Left, right?
Okay, so it's not eye. That was from Time Spiral, but Time Spiral I don't think was 20 years ago anyway.
No.
I don't remember what your time... I didn't play during
what
Time
was
Spiral.
20 years ago? 2000. I guess it really wasn't I guess it could have been eight, nine years past Magic's first printing.
Let's look up MTG 2000 and see what set, starter set 2000. There's got to be some creature in there then.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, who knows?
If you have an idea.
Yeah. Tweet at us with... hashtag chairs by Andy.
Chairs by Andy. That way we know just chairs by Andy and then a creature type immediately following it. Oh my gosh.
I'm very excited. Preview should start soon. So hopefully this entire set isn't leaked. If you're into it, like I said, you can find this stuff online, but you know, we would be very upset if we were the content creator and we shared it out to the world. So we're certainly going to give everybody their time and hopefully, you know, far less of these get previewed and we get to see the fun videos or content, whatever people are making.
Yeah. And we're probably going to have like 3 or 4 episodes just on Commander Legends from all the stuff that's going to come out for it.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's get to our main segment.
Yes.
So we've got utility lands. So the last time we talked about this, we were really into them coming in untapped.
That's true.
Hey, it enters the battlefield untapped.
And you know what? I'm looking at this list now and I think it's pretty much there. Again.
I think we're good on, I think, almost all of them.
Almost, kind of. I mean, but all of them.
The first one does not
necessarily
correct. So last time we talked about this, there were so many we couldn't go over, so we wanted to circle back and go over more. So we each pick 5 cards that we really like to play with or would like to play with because we've seen folks play against us with them. They're in no particular order. These are not weighted. These are just, we really like these cards.
Yep.
So the first one that I have, it is in 6,968 decks on EDHREC, but only 4% of the decks that it could be played in. And this is Castle Ardenvale.
Nice.
So Castle Ardenvale is a land that enters the battlefield tapped unless you control a plains.
Mm-hmm.
So It could enter untapped.
It could enter untapped.
I would say most of the time it's going to enter untapped in Commander.
Most likely.
It taps to add one white, or you can pay two white, tap it to create a 1/1 white human creature token. This card is really good in token strategies.
Yep.
And I really like having this in decks that just have cards that arbitrarily care about a creature type, because a lot of the time humans just end up benefiting from something on the battlefield.
For sure. Except for mutate.
But you can't mutate onto them. That's right. So that's what we learned from Judge Anthony.
Over and over and over again.
Over and over. Castle Ardenvale is a card. I mean, I see it played. Obviously, it's played on Arena quite a bit, and it's very popular there. But sometimes you just need to make creatures. If you're playing a token strategy, at least you have it on a land.
Mm-hmm.
If you're playing with Populate or Convoke, this land is extremely popular. You know, taking a look at Castle Ardenvale, obviously the top commanders are mostly mono white. So you got General Kudrow, Linden, Terranika, Mangara, and Heliod.
Mm-hmm.
But they all care about having humans or creatures or being able to block or gain life in some way. So I just think that it's a land that is not very popular, and I would like to see it played more. Do you play Castle Ardenvale in anything?
Yeah, actually I do. And it's a commander that doesn't pop up in the top list here. I played in Reese the Redeemed. So it's super good if just have like token generation in Reese. But on top of it, I mean, there's another card, V2Gazi, the city tree, that produces 1/1 green saplings for the same converted mana cost, but it also requires green. That's played in a lot more decks. I think Castle Ardenvale maybe is just too new. If you do look at the top commanders, I mean, the top eight commanders were all printed this year for this card, because that's when.
Are you counting Trin and Sylvar as two?
No, but yes. And then actually all the top nine,
10.
I see Elish Norn is the 10th.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10. If you're counting Trin and Sylvar as
if
two,
if you count them as two, if you're counting them as two, then yes, you're right. I think maybe it's just too new and people aren't playing it.
Yeah. So go back to Throne of Eldraine in 2 years and we'll see if this number has creeped up. But 4%, I mean, that's pretty low, but I like that we have lands that create creature tokens, and I think they're extremely beneficial in Commander, because sometimes you just don't have a creature out and you need to be able to block that person who's swinging at you with a 10-10. Doesn't have trample, because that does happen quite often.
All the time. And even in just mono white strategies, a lot of people complain that there's not a good card draw. And so maybe you're top decking at one point. Now you have a good mana sink.
Right.
So the next card on our list is a card that was printed in Commander Precon Azuri Claw of Progress, and that's Command Beacon. So Command Beacon is a colorless land that can produce one colorless, or you can tap it and sacrifice it to put your commander into your hand from the command zone. This is played in 10,073 decks, but only 3% of the decks can play in, because it can play in any deck. So this particular card is mostly used for strategies when you're playing commanders that you can't cast from your command zone or are suboptimally cast from your command zone. Phage the Untouchable. If you cast Phage the Untouchable from your command zone, you lose the game.
Right.
So returning it to your hand with Command Beacon is very important. Hakon Stormgald Scourge is a zombie knight that you can only cast from your graveyard. And the first step to that is getting it into your hand, and then you can pitch it into your graveyard. Tetsamok Primal Death needs to be in your graveyard in order so that you can put prey counters on things in order to destroy them. Most of the cards that are playing Command Beacon are like that. There is at least one that's different, and that's Titania, Protector of Argoth, just because Titania gets extra value when your lands go to the graveyard from the battlefield. So just kind of a fun synergy card to play.
You know what's funny is this card was on the list. So this actually just came out in Zendikar Rising again.
Mm-hmm.
The price didn't change, because the card's extremely valuable. And obviously, and we've talked about it before, the list does not provide a real
reprint. Right.
You know, it did not provide a huge flow of this card into the market. So it looks like we've only gotten this three times. Commander 15, it was a judge card in 2016, and then the list, and the cheapest is obviously from the list, $29.68. The Commander 15 printing is $31. So they're basically the same. And if you're looking for foil and you can find a judge card, it's only like $6 more than the others.
Yeah.
So this has not gotten any cheaper. From its reprinting, but it's a very, very, very good card.
Yeah. Now, if you're using this card just to get your commander back into your hand to make it cheaper costed, but you don't have the issue of getting your commander onto the battlefield from your command zone, I do recommend that you run a card called Sanctum of Eternity instead. Sanctum of Eternity, you pay 2 and tap it and return a commander you control to its owner's hand.
Is that one, though, you can only do it on your turn?
Yes, you can only do it on your turn. The reason I bring it up is because I actually had Command Beacon originally in my my Aluna deck, and then I realized Sanctum of Eternity is way better than Command Beacon for me.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. My next card is Scavenger Grounds. So Scavenger Grounds taps for 1 generic mana or has pay 2 generic, tap it, sack a desert, itself is a desert, and says exile all cards from all graveyards. so I talk about this a lot, and Coil changed our entire meta because we didn't have this problem until Coil started playing with us. It's not a problem. Coil just likes to have 2 hands, the one that has all of his cards in his hand, and then the 50 in the graveyard that are just as easily cast.
That's right.
Because of the 7 cards in his hand. Mm-hmm. So I need those gone. So this land will get rid of them. I know Bojuka Bog is extremely popular as well, but this one is $1.99. It's been reprinted now. This is in around 16,000 decks. It's based on EDH Rec and only 4% of the decks that it could be played in. This card, I would say, is no longer at this point new.
No.
People just may not. It's meta dependent, though, mm-hmm. right? So if you play with a play group and no one cares about their graveyards, it's definitely not something you need to play with them.
Right.
So that obviously could be part of it. Looking at the top commanders, we have Karn Silver Golem. Kalamax the Storm Sire is interesting. Bruvac makes a lot of sense here because you're milling your opponent's graveyards and you're like, you know what? They got to go.
Yeah, exile it.
I just milled 50 of your cards. I need them all gone now.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Yeah, see ya. Ronus the Indomitable. And then Kozlik the Great Distortion.
Right.
So this one, though, has just a plethora of creatures. I would not say that the top commanders here are here for any specific reason. Some of them care about mill, mm-hmm. But I would say that some of them, I don't know why it's in the top for some of these.
Well, so yeah, I guess I don't know about Kalamax. It's probably printed in the pre-con for Kalamax.
Maybe.
And that's why it's there.
Is it in the pre-con for Verizol as well? Well, Verizol wasn't in the pre-con. Verizol was in Zendikar Rising.
Right.
It's the top for Juru. Xur'zoth makes sense. Xur'zoth. Traxos. So I just think that this card is a good stuff card, though.
Yeah.
And it provides value for all decks if you really need to get stuff out of the graveyard.
Absolutely. So the next card we're going to talk about is Sunholm, Fortress of the Legion. So enters the battlefield untapped and taps for a generic mana, or you can pay 2, a red and a white, and tap it, and target creature gains double strike until end of turn. So this card is mainly played in like Voltron strategies, and darn is it so specific to Boros. So if you look at the top commanders, the top 6 or 7, if you count the partners together, are all just Boros commanders, and I guess it's on flavor because this is the Boros Fortress of the Legion from Ravnica, but
the best plane ever.
It's, you know,
It's up there.
It's a plane.
It's up
there. but yeah, most strategies that are going to be utilizing this card are Voltron strategies. I do play this in my Zergo Helm Smasher deck. And the one reason I really like it is when you are playing Voltron strategies, a lot of the times you're going to be playing the swords. The swords provide protection from certain colors. And I know I'm at fault many times of having my Zergo equipped with a sword of War and Peace, which gives protection from red, and then attempting to cast a Teemer Battle Rage, which is a red spell, on that creature.
Yeah, we figured that out that one time, and you were like, oh man,
yeah,
shoot.
So Sunholm is a land, therefore it is colorless, and will still be able to target your creatures that do have protection from red or for protection from white. And that's why I really like playing Sunholm Fortress of the Legion.
Yeah, Sunholm's really good. I don't actually run it in any of my decks, and I feel like I should. I just don't
have big stuff because it is double strike.
It'd be really good in Feather, but I don't run Feather as a Voltron commander. I might be doing it wrong, and I want to switch it up because I was playing Feather as a token commander, basically playing all the creatures that have like heroic, or when you do this, you know,
like
when
young Peasy and all that.
Yeah,
kind of stuff.
Young Pyromancer and Monastery Mentor, and yeah, just all the cards that make creatures when you cast a spell or you do something. So this would be a card I probably should try out in that deck.
Man, it's very cheap. You can get it for under $2. It's played in 5,599 decks, which is only 6% of the decks you can play in. It does require your deck to be at least Boros. And right. Maybe that's the downside.
Right. That could be. The next card here is not an underplayed card, just a card that we didn't mention last time. And that's Kesig Wolf Run. So a very strong card here. It is a land that enters... Well, I guess it enters untapped.
It does enter
untapped. It doesn't enter tapped. It taps for a generic mana, or you can pay X, a red, and a green, and tap it, and target creature gets +X/+0 and gains trample until end of turn. So this is in just under 13,000 decks, and 14% of the decks that it could be in are playing it. So this is a very popular card.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just need trample. So the top card, or the top commanders here, I actually, which was very surprising to see, the brand new fight commander, Naoth of the Dire Hunt, it's played the most percentage wise.
Okay.
Percentage wise in this deck. But I would say the highest played commander is Xenagos, God of Rebels. Oh. But it's been around for a lot longer. But we've got Godzilla, King of the Monsters, Ulrich of the Kralin Horde, Rada, Heart of Keld. These are all smashing face gruel decks
that you got to just dump some extra mana into and have them get trample and go over. I know when I was looking at this card, I found the card Skarg the Rage Pits.
I also run that.
It's a really good redundant effect. It only gives +1/+1, but it still gives trample.
It still gives trample. So I run both of these. I think I run both of these in my Godzilla King of the Monsters budget deck, because neither of these cards are expensive. I mean, Kesig Wolf Run's been reprinted. It's like $1.50.
Right.
So if you're looking for a card to help you trample over the competition, go with Kesig Wolf Run.
Wolf some runs in the Kesig fashion.
Run with wolves. Not so, dances with wolves. It's runs with wolves.
Runs
new
with
movie
wolves.
Idea.
Runs with, it's just a
call me
it's just like a marathon runner that learns how to run with a pack of wolves.
No, it's like watching the movie Twilight, but they play magic.
So they're oh
would
gosh.
You watch that?
No. I don't think I would. So the next card we're going to talk about is, I think, looking down the list, the newest printed card. No, Castle Ardenvale was. Okay, second newest printed card. This is Hall of Heliod's Generosity. So this was printed in Modern Horizons. And so it's in 15,182 decks of, and then it's in 8% of the decks that it can be in. So Hall of Heliod's Generosity comes in untapped, taps for a colorless, or you can pay one in a white and tap it to put target enchantment card from your graveyard on top of your library. So really good card if you are playing, especially an Enchantments Matter deck, to return some enchantments that maybe someone destroyed or someone board wiped, and you put them back on top of your library. Kind of a downside that it does, you'll have to take a turn off in order to draw that. And if you are playing this in a mono white deck, taking a turn off from drawing a card is especially hurtful. But if you're playing a 3, 4, 5 color Enchantment Matters deck, or just a deck that has white that cares about some of the enchantments that you play, I don't know, like Smothering Tithe or Ghostly Prison, Rhystic Study if you are outside. Specifically, this card wants to see play in a Xur cycling deck. So Xur cycling is kind of a niche Xur deck, but one of my favorite. But it does revolve around Astral Slide and the other cycling one that I wrote down, Astral Drift. So
how did you forget the Drift?
I only remember the Slide.
Xur, too fast, too furious.
So it's definitely a staple in that deck. But again, it requires white, and it does put on top of your library. We see similar effects in like Academy Ruins for the same thing for artifacts, and Volrath Stronghold for the same thing for creatures. If it weren't for Academy Ruins recent reprint, it would be a much more expensive card. And Volrath Stronghold is a very expensive card. But Hall of Heliod's Generosity, you can pick up for under $4 off of TCG Player right now. And is a super great card to just help your enchantment stay out.
If you were hanging out with us on stream the other day, you saw me get to blow one of these bad boys up.
That's
because
right.
I couldn't let that stay.
No, it didn't even get to get activated once.
Well, I got to cast a decimate, and I got to take out that a Cather's Crusade. I took out a Shalai, and I took out your sheet. One of your one time yeah. of the multiple times we tried to remove your She-Ray sac outlets. Yeah. But shout out to Decimate, I guess.
Yeah.
But Hall of Heliod's Generosity is a card you need to remove if the deck is built around it.
Definitely.
So the next card is also not a card that is, I would say, underplayed. I was surprised when I saw the number, but it's not really a cheap card. You may have already heard of this. This is Nykthos, Shrine to Nyx. It came out in Theros. It taps for a generic mana, or you pay two and tap it and you choose a color. You add mana to your mana pool. For the amount of devotion you have for that color that you chose. It's really good in decks that play with a lot of color pips. Mm-hmm. This can be good in multiple or in multicolor decks, but I usually don't run this when I'm playing more than two right. colors. So you're wanting it's specifically better the less colors you're running, mm-hmm. But can really ramp you. So Nykthos, Shrine to Nyx allowed, I remember a long time ago, mono white to get that big mana
for
that
sure.
they were missing.
Right.
So this was one of those initial cards. I mean, Smothering Tide now, if you're playing white, feels like you could just put this in every deck that just plays white. Mm-hmm. But Nykthos, Shrine to Nyx, $24.99. It's in about 32,000 decks based on EDH Rec, but only 8% of them are playing it. But like I said, a lot of the new cards that are coming out in Commander, mm-hmm. or I guess I didn't say this yet. A lot of the cards that are coming out in Commander are two or three colors. We're not
true.
Seeing a ton of mono color. I mean, we're seeing some,
oh, yeah.
but a lot of people are building, and perhaps a lot of people are or just gravitate to the more, I guess, off the wall strategies. Mm, and mm-hmm, a lot of those mm-hmm. are in two, three colors.
Right.
So that might be why we're seeing a bit less of Nykthos today.
Yeah. But just as an example, I know I've seen this Nykthos do a ton of work in your Taysa deck.
Yeah.
And it's honestly, I only ever see Nykthos in monocolor decks until Andy showed me in his Taysa deck. And just like one turn you tapped it for black, and the next turn you tapped it for white, and it tapped for about the same amount.
I think
it was,
I had
like,
five,
producing 10 or yeah, something like was, that.
I think I had like five or six creatures out, and mm-hmm. each of them had like, for some reason, they were all like double pips or
right.
something. And I was like, I need seven black, and the next turn I want like 10 white.
Right.
Coil's like, it works that way.
Yeah. And if you
oh my gosh.
And if you yeah, you don't have to name the color when it enters the battlefield or anything. And if you play a card like Deserted Temple that we talked about in the last time we talked about utility lands, you can untap it and tap it again. So you can produce two different colors if you have enough pips for both.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good card.
So the next card, speaking of Orzhov. Is Vault of the Archangel. So Vault of the Archangel is a land, enters untapped and can tap for one generic, or you can pay two, a white and a black, and tap it, and creatures you control gain death touch and lifelink. You can pick up this card up for under $5 of TCG player. It's in 8,526 decks, but only 9% of the decks that it can be in. So really this card is probably best in like a go-wide strategy where you have a ton of tokens and you can block a bunch of stuff. But it also is good for like just an extra, like I play this in Voltron. I play this in my Zergo deck as well, so that I can instant speed, give Zergo death touch and lifelink. And if there's one thing death touch loves, it's trample. So if you can also give trample with it, it goes really far. But I know that there are some cards like, one of the new cards, Kelsian the Plague, which is a Mardu 2/2 vigilance haste. This is whenever, or Kelsian the Plague is +1/+1 for each experience counter you have, and you can tap Kelsian to deal one damage to target creature you don't control. When that creature dies this turn, you get an experience counter. So some of these activated abilities that deal damage, where it's the creature dealing damage, just being able to give that creature death touch with your land can be very, very helpful.
Yeah, this is one of those cards that it's really good to have up, and people don't think about it. And when they go to swing in, or you swing in and they block a bunch of, I don't know, 1/1 spirit, speaking of like Taysa,
yeah.
which would be very good for this.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I digress. I switched Taysa Karlov to Taysa Orzhov Scion. Mm-hmm. So I think I want to play that on stream this week. So, I, you know, take it for its maiden voyage there. But, mm-hmm. This card is in that deck because it just is, it's really good. And it's tricksy. If you can keep it up, you're like, actually, I'm just going to give him all death touch. Okay. Uh-oh. I mean, like Uh-oh. That's really the most important part there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it does other things, but
right.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Now, this deck, if you look at the list of top commanders, it is literally all Orzhov and Mardu, and that's it. But there's no reason you can't slip this into a five color deck, five color Morophon, whatever you want to give all of your creatures life. It's like if you played in slivers, now you don't need the sliver that gives your creatures lifelink or the sliver that gives your creatures death touch. You have it on a land.
You have it on a land. Yeah. So my last card here is Desolate Lighthouse. Desolate Lighthouse taps for one generic mana, or you can pay one, a blue and a red, tap it to draw a card and then discard a card. So really good to try to rearrange the top cards of your library. If you're like, you know, I know what's up there. I do not want that anymore. Sometimes you just want to draw a card and get rid of a card that's in your hand. Mm-hmm. Really good if you're trying to put something into the graveyard specifically for you to reanimate. Mm-hmm. If you're playing, let's say, Grixis strategy, so you're in red, blue, black. The top commanders here, not surprising. Just number-wise, you've got Riel the Everwise. This is not pure number of commander decks that have been built, but percentage wise Riel cares about drawing cards. Whenever you discard one or more cards for the first time, draw that many. The Locust God, when you draw a card, you're going to make an insect here. The new partners, Braylon and Shabraz, great in that deck because Shabraz has whenever you draw a card, you put a +1/+1 counter on it and you gain one life. Mm-hmm. Niv-Mizzet Perrin, lots of commanders that specifically care about card draw and filtering, and you get to do it alone. And sometimes you're like, I've drawn my third land. I need it to not be a land. Mm-hmm. And if you already don't have something to do, it only costs three.
Right.
You know, so it's not that expensive. And in a lot of Izzet decks, you're playing a lot of cheap cantrip spells anyway.
Right.
That this is not going to hurt your mana base for one turn, saying, all right, four lands specifically are going to have to be dedicated to just getting something out. Or I guess if you're running the Izzet Boiler Works, maybe two lands.
Oh, very true.
Yeah.
It doesn't have quite the downside, if you want to call it that, of like Gaia Reach Sanitarium that allows everyone to draw a card and then discard a card.
Right.
And it costs a lot less mana and has a lot less requirements than like Arch of Orozca, where you need the City's Blessing and then you pay five and tap it. In last time we talked about utility lands, we talked about Cephalid Coliseum, but that requires Threshold in order to activate it.
Yeah.
But just like Cephalid Coliseum, Desolate Lighthouse can be used as a win condition in a Laboratory Maniac where you don't have to cast a spell now. You can just activate an ability, so it can't get countered by most counter spells.
By most. By most. You have to counter an activated ability.
Just disallow it. All right. So the last card on my list is actually a card I don't currently have in a deck, but I like talking about it. And this is Alchemist's Refuge. So Alchemist's Refuge enters the battlefield untapped. And it taps for a generic mana, or you can pay green and a blue and tap it. And it says you may cast non-land cards this turn as though they had flash. So obviously granting things that don't have flash is real good. The little bit of downside that you might see on it is it does require technically tapping up to three lands in order to activate it. So you can call your cards +3 mana with flash, but at the same time you could cast six cards. Mm-hmm. It again requires a lot of mana, but you're in green blue, so you're probably at least green blue, so you're probably going to have the ramp and the mana in order to do it. There was a card that was printed in the Ravnica set called Emergence Zone that does something very similar, but in with Emergence Zone, you actually have to sacrifice the land in order to do it. So it's kind of a one-off unless you have the ability to recur it. But Emergence Zone does only cost one generic mana in order to do it. So there's like, I guess, more of a budget option. Not that Alchemist Refuge is expensive anymore now that it was reprinted in Mystery Boosters. So you can get it for under $4 on TCG Player. It's played in 13,000 decks, or 12% of the decks that it can be played on.
Yeah. I mean, if you're playing Alchemist Refuge, it feels like it gives you, I mean, even though it is mana intensive, it's like having a Yeva out if you want to cast a spell that turn, right? So if you're running a Yeva deck, knowing what that feels like, just being able to have essentially like what feels like Videlkan Orrery, but creatures is really good. So, you know, obviously if you're running Alchemist Refuge, you may be running Videlkan Orrery itself. It's just, that's an expensive card. So, and this is less expensive.
For sure. And if you're running a Seedborn Muse, then it really is like having a Videlkan Orrery because it'll untap on everyone's turn.
Yeah. Yeah. So those are the, you know, the top 10 lands that we like, that we play with or want to play with, because we've seen a lot of success from folks who do play with these cards. Now, I did find a card that it didn't make my five, but I would really like to play with it. And it's funny because I've never put it into a deck. I've never seen somebody play with it, but looking at it, I feel like it could do a lot, which is Prav Spires of Order. So it's the Azorius land from Dissension. So it taps for a generic, or you can pay 4, a white and a blue, tap it, prevent all damage from the source, from your choice, a source would deal this turn. So you could, if someone's playing with a card that is going to let them, let's say, pay 50 life to deal 50 damage, you could just prevent all damage that would deal this turn.
Okay.
Yeah, or you stop some big giant commander that's coming at you. It does cost 6. Extremely mana intensive here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But if you're not doing anything and you're in blue white, which sometimes doesn't do anything.
Sometimes.
You could just hold up 6 mana.
It always looks so sus.
But you could hold up 7 mana and it could be, are you going to fog with Prav, or are you going to Cyclonic Rift? Take 6 mana and Prav, both are 7.
Uh-oh. You're going to have to take a guess.
You're going to have to guess. Am I just going to fog one thing? Or am I going to bounce it all?
Oh, man. I hope it's both.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do both in one turn.
That's right. That's right. one card that I found, and I don't know if I have a specific deck for it yet, but interesting. I always like looking at haste enablers in cards, and one that I hadn't even heard of before is Slayer's Stronghold. Slayer's Stronghold, it could tap for a generic, or you can pay red and white and tap it. Target creature gets +2/+0, gains vigilance and haste until end of turn. So kind of in the same cycle that Vault of the Archangel and Sunhome were printed in, but this one is vigilance and haste. The only reason I say I don't really have a home for it is the only decks that it would like fit into are maybe a Voltron deck where my Voltron commander didn't already have haste.
Right. And you're playing Zergo Helm Smasher, which already has haste.
Correct.
But this makes sense. Yeah. Only I didn't even realize there's only one printing of this card from Avacyn Restored, but extremely affordable if you're looking to give a creature haste or vigilance. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. No, really, really good cards. So, I think that's the end of our episode this week. I mean, that brings us to the end here, right?
That is the end.
Yeah. So don't forget that we stream Commander gameplay every Thursday at twitch.tv/ATFlory. This week, Clayby from CNC Power Hour, and then Andy Zupke, who writes articles for CardSphere and creates budget Commander content with the Scrap Trawlers. They'll be on stream again.
Mm-hmm.
We want to thank you all for listening. If you would like to contact us, you can find our podcast on Twitter at Guardian Pod. You can find me at ATFlory.
You can find me at Wormcoil Engine.
And you can email us at guardianprojectpod@gmail.com. That's it for this week. We will talk to you next.
Next week for 7-2.
For 7-2 episode
number
72.
Yeah, 7-2 episode
number 72. That will be next week.
72?
Not 71 anymore. We're 72 episodes old.
Even does.
Happy 72nd.
Is it? That's pretty old for years, but episodes?
Yeah. It still is.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
I'll make cake.